Hello, listeners. This is Lee Price.
This is Will Ford from Football 365.
And you're listening smartly to At the Bridge Pod, a Chelsea FC podcast, although I would describe it as the Chelsea FC podcast.
Magical from Eden Hazard! Kai Havertz in the Champions League final! Ivanovic!
Getting in the middle, it's just behind him. Intercepted by Hakimi. It's
Matic with the ball driver!
It's time for another episode of At the Bridge Pod, your number one Chelsea FC podcast. Coming up on this episode,
I'm not sure what was more impressive, Cole Palmer's performance against Newcastle or the way he conducted himself when Tim Sherwood asked that ridiculous question. Oh, welcome back everyone to another episode of At the Bridge Pod. I'm joined in a virtual room filled with one solitary lion. Oh, it's what happens when we record on a Tuesday. It does happen. I've got Ollie, and that is what matters. We've got Ollie. Yes, I'm content. I feel like that sounded so sarcastic, and it really wasn't. But
it's all right. No, because when it's just birth, you're like, I'm here with birth. No.
Right.
Nice to be here.
Hey. What was your highlight from the weekend, if you have one? I mean, quiet one.
Yeah, well, it was a reasonably quiet one, but I visited some family and it was my birthday yesterday, so that was very nice. I got to spend some good time with family and yeah, just enjoy it was a quiet one, you could say.
Oh well,
bring it up on the bingo card, ladies and gents.
I mean, for me, you know what, I'm not, apart from, I'm just going to quickly brief it. Apart from NFL free agency, which is, it's always wild. I feel that's fair. It's fair. But my highlight was Cristiano Ronaldo missing from a few yards for Al Nassr. I didn't think I'd ever see him miss a chance worse than the one. Some listeners might remember it from against Sheffield United. That was many years ago. But you know what? I now know the answer to the question. Can he do it on a warm Monday night in Riyadh? No. No, we can't. So, oh my word, we have a triple match report. And
oh my God.
I know. First up, though, we'll just briefly go through Chelsea's 1-0 win over City in the League Cup semi-final, which, oh man, I mean, that was a difficult watch for me because it was a smash and grab type of performance. I mean, you know, Diego Simeone would be so proud of the Chelsea women's team because
it was such a shithouse performance, wasn't it?
I mean, on paper, you go 1-0 to two elite women's teams against each other, close game.
We got battered left and right. I mean, I got the stats here. 28, 3 shots to 8, 10 on target to 3. This is in City's favour, by the way. 64% to 36% possession. 500, almost 600 passes to our 300. Like, they just absolutely ran us ragged, didn't they?
Yeah. I mean, hey, it don't matter. You know, we managed to somehow keep that clean sheet. There was some good individual play, but it wasn't very cohesive as a team. But the thing is, you know, the main thing is you're in a final. That's the job. It's a bit like that ironic Jermaine Genus quote when he said about Spurs were the better team against Chelsea in the FA Cup semi. Don't matter. You're not in the final. You didn't win.
Yep, exactly. Especially in knockout competitions, winning is all that matters. And you know, like if it was the other way around, if we had lost that game from a smash and grab, we wouldn't be saying, oh, at least we played well.
No, because you've not won. You're not in the final. You know, yes. It's as blunt as that. I mean,
final against
Arsenal.
Oh, big game. That'll be great to watch.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the irony of look at 2011-12 Champions League final. Were Chelsea the better team? No. You know, Bayern absolutely dominated with the amount of shots and possession, but did they lift the trophy? Nope. And that's all that matters.
Hampton got 10 saves in that game.
That's outstanding. Really doing well in her season for Chelsea, which is something. I mean, next up, obviously, we will touch on that Chelsea women were on the road. They took on Everton in the FA Cup. Here is the match report. Chelsea, having triumphed in their two previous London derbies against West Ham and Crystal Palace, faced Everton. Despite Chelsea's dominance in the prior encounters, Everton certainly posed a tougher challenge. 6 changes from the previous game against City in the League Cup. Chelsea saw Bjorn hitting the woodwork early on. however, an injury forced her off the field, leading to a rearrangement in the defence. Although Everton had moments of pressure, they failed to test the keeper consistently. And the second half saw us exert some more control, with Macario scoring just 3 minutes after coming on as a substitute, really making a habit of that, which is awesome to see. And there were some late chances for Everton, but, you know, we held on for the win, and we're into the semi-finals of the FA Cup. Everton 0, Chelsea 1, another 1-0 in a cup. Hey, it's all good. Macario sends the Blues to another semi-final. I feel that the game was a bit underwhelming. This is weird. I'm usually quite buoyant from these games, but, you know, I expected dominance and I didn't get it. Everton outplayed us at times, which again I was not anticipating, and I was a bit but I guess, you know, hindsight, considering the team's injuries and hectic schedule that's coming up, it's important not to be overly critical here, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. It was the same as the City result in a lot of ways. Just get through. And we did that thanks to a really, really great goal from Ramirez. She took it really, really well. But as well,
It was Macario.
Apologies. I think it was Aggie Beaver-Jones that got the assist down the right hand side.
Yes,
you know,
like,
skipped away from the defender and laid it off really well. You know, we've been singing her praises all season, but she just continues to impress every week for me.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Could not agree more. I mean, you know, despite the challenges that we're facing, you know, Mauro Ramirez was off injured in the Man City game, didn't play in this one. And, you know, we're still getting results, you know, two cup games, two victories. That's what matters. That's the positive. The subs, obviously, in the game made the impact. Of course they did, you know. That's why some players have been benched, you know. The ones that are on the bench at the moment, coming on in a cup game, they're better. But, you know, you just said Aggie Beaver-Jones, she stood out for me as the player of the game, because that threat going forward, the assist, that's exactly what we've seen from her all season. And it's encouraging to see Macario maintain that goal-scoring form, you know. Two sub appearances, two goals. That's not bad. It's not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. Yeah, I mean, very impressive.
I mean, the priority is to avoid further injuries. We lost Sam Kerr. Mauro Ramirez is, we don't know yet. You know, Emma Hayes did provide a sort of post-game update on both Bjorn and Ramirez, and she just said that Natalie felt a calf, so I think it's fair to say there'll be something there with that. We won't know until we're back home. And then with Ramirez, we just felt it was too soon today for her, so we left her at home and gave Aggie a start. We might have to do that from week to week, where some can't play every 3 days. We'll see how she is when we get back. So it's kind of like, ooh.
Yeah, it's a tough schedule at the top of the game.
Amount of games in March.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the women's team are just absolutely loaded up with just quantity of games at the moment. So it's just about, in this stage of the season, in the business end of the season, it's just about grinding out results.
Yeah,
that is what, if anyone knows how to do, Emma Hayes does. So
yeah, we always, you know, March is known as March Madness for the basketball. You know, it does feel like a basketball schedule. It really does. It's a game like every other day. It just feels that way. And, you know, looking ahead, obviously the next crucial match is against Arsenal at the Bridge. Yes. And hopefully Macario is going to become Sam Kerr 2.0. I mean, she's looking a great signing for Chelsea's team. And, you know, she was on for a minute, scores. Pretty good all round, really.
Yeah. Also, they've got such a good attack, haven't they? They've got Russo and Little and Beth Mead. But you know what? I would say a lot of our strengths come in our defence with, you know, the likes of Bjorn. And,
exactly. That's what we hope she's back fully fit soon. But
and, of course, Hannah Hampton in goal as well.
Mm.
It's going to be a really, really interesting one. Of course, I believe, is it our next game in the Cup is Man United as well after this Everton game?
That would be the FA Cup semi-finals, because the game, is it the end of the FA? The FA League Cup final is at the end of this month. So, no. Hang on, I've just pulled it up. It's not, listen to this. We've got Arsenal in the, obviously, League Cup final. And then there's a slight break, and then we play Man United in the semi-final. Wow. That's rough, back to back.
And they're no slouches either. You know, they got Ella Toon, they got Mary Earp in goal, you know, and they're both full-fledged England internationals. It's going to be a tough one to get past them as well.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still, I keep just seeing that now. I've just seen, again, a reminder that our final WSL season game is against Man United. That's not going to be easy. No, and City have got Villa away. Villa haven't been great, but we shall see. We shall see how it plays out. So,
I mean, we've got to go and win the Champions League tie against Ajax first.
I know. So many. It's like I said, March Madness. It's just non-stop.
Yeah.
And non-stop again. We're on to our third of three match reports, sponsored by 23 games, 11 goals, and 8 assists. It's Cole Palmer. Chelsea 3, Newcastle 2. Well, an actual W. Yes, listeners, a win. 3 points. They stay in London. And you know what? Chris did actually send in his winners.
Oh, stop with all of Chris's winners.
He's got three.
I've got four. Winners.
Four? Wow. I mean,
well, it's a good thing I loaded up considering nobody else is here.
I mean, winners. We've got the same first winner, me and Chris and I. Do you have Nicholas Jackson down?
I really wanted to put him in, but I thought other people would choose him. So I decided
you
to
found
go
four
against
winners him. And Nicholas Jackson wasn't one.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. But he would have been like an honourable mention because he had an absolutely fantastic game against Newcastle. He really did.
Chris, why did Chris choose him? Well, he says he was developing really well. Proper strikers goal, showing instincts, good base to play off.
Really nice little flick that.
Yeah, and an all-round really good performance. I mean, yeah, why was he my winner? I mean, he opened the scoring, and to be honest with you, I mean, he's shown promise in his debut season, despite, notably missed opportunities.
I think the perfect word to describe Jackson is that he's a handful. Mm. He's just a handful for any defender he comes up against because he's tenacious and he controls the ball actually really well. And he can come in from the left. He can come in through the middle. And I think defenders just don't really know what to do with someone with his kind of level of tenacity and also having that good a touch as well. Mm. So he ends up kind of spinning people quite a lot. He just needs to get that little bit of ruthlessness in him. And he's going to be looking at, you know, a 15-goal season, a starting season for as Chelsea's number nine, which considering he was out for a month of it is phenomenal.
This is what we touched on it like really early on in the year. Gosh, I think it was Christmas when we said when he goes away for the AFCON, we're going to noticeably miss him. And I know some people sort of like, well, we did. And look, it's a strong start for me for his debut season and for a player of his age. You know, 9 goals already in the league. And you cannot say to me that there's not optimism for him to like potentially reach 15 for this season. Yeah, and that'd be awesome. I mean, I look at his overall contributions, 15 goal involvements in 31 across all competitions. And that's reflecting really well on his adaptability and his potential. You know, he could be a top forward in the coming years. And considering obviously the challenges of like playing in inconsistent team and look, just look at that performance against Newcastle. It's a promising trajectory for his development, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's really kicking on as well, which I really appreciate from this season. Like he had some difficulties at the start, and he's kind of put that behind him. And I think that's probably down a bit to Pochettino. So credit to him where that's due. It just feels like he's almost kind of developed more of the mentality because I don't think his. I personally don't think his ability's gone up all that much. I think it's more that he's confident and he's playing with confidence and he has more courage in his own abilities as well. Mm. You know, like that number 9 shirt at Chelsea is it's got, you know, you've got a target on your back. It's a real spectre. It's a real shadow. And he's dealing with it really, really well. He's probably the best person to have taken that number 9 shirt since, I don't know, I guess since Drogba, I guess. Like when he
Oh, you're going to hate me when I say Jackson's a 15.
Okay, I know, but you, but so was Drogba when he started. You know, like Drogba was never number nine either. But
it's surreal,
we
isn't
all
it?
Know we say the number nine shirt, but we mean the striker.
Yeah.
Oh, it's interesting looking at that as well because Jackson has is something like 9 goals in the Premier League this season.
Yeah.
And in his first season, Drogba only got 10. Now, I know Drogba scored in the final and, you know, we got to semi-finals and other things. The teams at the time were completely, you know, incomparable. But if you compare just the two players and what they've managed to do in their debut season, actually, when it really puts into perspective how well Jackson's done and hopefully he kicks on.
Mm, yeah, 100%. Right, winner.
It's the sponsor of the episode. It's Cold Palmer.
Oh, yes.
He had a really, really good game, didn't he? Yeah. You know, sets one up, scores himself. Really, really nice finish down into the, I think it was Dubravka's bottom left. Just slightly outside the box. Really nice. Combined really well with a lot of the players on that right-hand side. Just ran Newcastle ragged, really.
Yeah.
You know, they couldn't get anywhere near him. Top performance. Top professional.
Chris had him as well. Put sure and everyone also, will have him.
Yeah, and you know what? An extra win for him for mugging off Tim Sherwood in the post-commentary as
oh,
well.
Oh, we will touch on that.
Yeah, with Tim Sherwood, will. You know, trying to be a little sneaky snake, but Cole Palmer, he's cold under pressure. He was having none of it. Yeah, just really, really good performance from him. And he just continues to be such a shining gem in what is a pretty mid-season.
Yeah, I mean, who's another winner for you?
I've got his partner on the right hand side. It's Malo Gusto.
Great game.
I think, yeah, really good game. He's becoming. I think he might be the best value for money signing that we've made this one. In the Bowley Clear Lake era, I think he's absolutely phenomenal to come in and step into the shoes of someone like Reece James, who is, you know, one of the best right backs in the world when he's fit. We all know that, and actually, we haven't missed him. Not with Gusto on that side. You know, like they offer different things. Of course, Gusto is actually very strong defensively and could do with a little bit more going forward, really. Whereas, you know, Reece is really good in all aspects of his game. But the fact that you can even say we haven't really missed him is a testament to how good he's been. I've been so, so impressed. And I'll admit, when he first signed for us, I was actually a bit skeptical about him. I thought, well, I'm not sure about this. Okay. You know, people saying he couldn't defend and things like that. But you know what? He proved me wrong within a month. I changed my opinion around him and I've never looked back. He's been phenomenal again with combining with Palmer and on that right hand side was just especially running Dan Byrne all over the place.
Yeah, you know,
just causing problems all game.
I mean that's I'm glad you said Gusto because Chris actually would say Gusto too, but someone else will. And you're right, Chris.
I think Gusto though is the thing with Gusto is. I think, and this might be I don't know if we call this a Tuesday hot take, but
hot take.
Sponsored by some other unknown player rather than Del Horn. But I think Gusto has an absolutely unbelievable command of the football, an unbelievable level. I think he might be the person with the best sort of command of the football at the club at the moment. I really do. The way he's able to manipulate the ball and do exactly what he wants when he wants with it is a phenomenal for a 20-year-old. Mm.
I mean, Chris's final winner was Cucurella. He did was at fault for the last goal, but aside from that, thought he was really solid after being out for so long. Yeah, you kind of forget that he was out. Remember when we didn't even know he was injured. We post a photo of him having post-surgery and you're like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Nice. Wow. And it was a shame because he was really kicking on at that stage as well. And it's good to see that he's come back. And while he was definitely at fault for the third goal and some of his main issues still appear, you know, being a bit flat-footed on and the way he defends, he doesn't really do that very well. But but that afro was back and it was good to see it bouncing. And yeah, I thought considering he's been out for so long, we can't give him too much of a difficulty.
I mean, my second winner was, it's a cheeky one. I've got the trio of good signings. You touched on it earlier. I've got Cole Palmer, great signing. Malo Gusto, great signing. Georgi Petrovic, incredible signing. I mean, all three have been incredible signs for this team. And, you know, Cole Palmer, you know what? I think he's going to need a bigger house to put all his Man of the Match awards in because that dude is cooking. He has been. I mean, he's outperforming this season. Foden, Alvarez, Bowen. I mean, that's some company.
And Saka, maybe not Saka. I'm not sure. There's that one stat going around, isn't there, that it's him and Bellingham have under 21 have the most goals and assists this season in Europe.
It's just incredible.
That's madness. And I think Palmer might actually have more. Or it's either more or the same. It's a crazy, crazy statistic. Yeah. And man, I'm so happy we got Cole.
I know. I mean, I still look back. I mean, we did the Georgi Petrovic episode where we broke down what he could bring and everything. I'm really glad that's aged well. And
yeah, that one has aged well.
Really well. He'll beat out Robert Sanchez for number one. It's like, we either hit it out of the park or we fall flat on our face. You know what? I will play my final winner here. I will put them down. And I've got Mrs. Pochettino. Because a 3-2 win means that the birthday date, it's back on. A dinner reservation at the finest of restaurants, please.
Oh, love that.
Everyone was a winner last night.
In the Discord, I want everyone to say what they think Maurizio ordered. I'm going to go with some kind of lemon-based dessert.
Oh, lemon meringue, lemon cheese?
Yeah,
cake?
Lemon meringue or a lemon posset or something. Yeah.
That's nice.
Or a lemon drizzle cake.
That's a classic. You can't go wrong with that.
It's really nice. I rate it very highly.
They are really nice. Who's your other winners?
Yeah, so my third winner is Mikhailo Mudryk.
Lovely
goal. Obviously, yeah, absolutely beautiful goal. The way he danced through there, very good. Really, like, his dribbling is just very, very impressive. His turn of pace is, we all know, is very good. But he just needs to be able to put it together for a full 90. You know, had a really, really good 20-minute cameo. It was arguably the best I've seen of him.
Yeah.
In a Chelsea shirt, probably since we signed him, really. And like you say, he capped it off with a really nice little solo goal. Sort of nipped the ball off Gallagher's feet, danced right through the middle, about past two or three Newcastle defenders, then rounded Dubravka and slotted it home. Thought for a minute that the defender was going to get there when he passed it quite gingerly into the goal, but he did really well. And I don't know, he just seems to keep getting better and better bit, just a tiny inch at a time.
Potential, just it's confidence.
I just can't quit him, you know what I mean? I just can't give up on him.
Yeah, it's just that confidence factor. Once he's got it, he's got it. That's the thing. And we all see it with different players throughout the look at Torres back at Chelsea. When he first started, that he scored, everyone forgets the incredible goal he scored against United in that game. They always remember the miss. See, some listeners right now, you know, are going to think, the incredible goal. Look it up and you'll go, oh, bloody hell, that's a good goal.
Nobody remembers that because of that miss.
Exactly. And it's confidence. Once it's knocked, you know, it can be challenging, you know. The physical side of the game is difficult enough, but the mental side of it as well is just as difficult. And I feel many, many forget that.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, coming in, taking the number 10 shirt, of course, Eden Hazard's shirt and Pulisic is before that, but that's hardly a high bar to reach. Although he is doing well at Milan. He's doing very well.
Streets won't forget lockdown Pulisic.
Yeah, unbelievable hat-trick against Burnley or whatever. But yeah, it's they're big shoes to fill, basically. Yeah, and I think that despite a lot of the slack that he has gotten, and he does still have a lot to go in his game and he needs to improve in other aspects, but he seems to be really affecting games, at least a little, when he's playing. And for me, that's more important than you know, like, necessarily some other things to his game that people are a little bit upset about, you know, whether he can hug the byline or whatever. But that's neither here nor there. In his central role, I think actually he does really well. So he gets his flowers today.
That's fair. Who's your final winner then?
Well, my final winner is not a who, but a what. It was shooting early. You know, sometimes...
It happened.
Sometimes in life you have to go early instead of waiting until the very, very last second to decide to do something. And the game against Newcastle was a really good showing of why sometimes it's important to go early rather than late. You know, but you've got Palmer's goal, obviously. He took that slightly early from outside the box. Two of Newcastle's goals. Murphy's one from in the 90th minute, you know, to get it back to 3-2. He took that slightly early. Isak's goal to make it to 1-1 in the first half. He took that a little bit early as well to when he bent it around De Zazzi. It was just an interesting parallel to see from the game that this was a game where people were shooting early and the goals were flying in. And who always was really good at that? And I feel like no one ever really took up that mantle in the same way. It was Thierry Henry. He would always kind of on that left-hand side, then he'd kind of cut in on his right and just play it. Just shoot half a second or a second earlier than the goalkeeper thinks he's gonna. Yeah. And it catches them off guard so much. And you can really see it with some of the goals that went in, you know, just going that little bit earlier and playing with a bit more courage. Yeah. It's beneficial.
Right. There's always losers. There's always losers. I've got two. Chris had two as well.
I've got three.
I mean, I wonder if...
It's a bit of a... It's two and a bit, really.
I wonder if you've all got... Actually, I'll take that back. I didn't click see more on Chris's message. He's got three.
to reveal seven more losers.
Oh, man. Right. Did he say two? I also can't... I don't know. I can't bloody read.
Give us Chris's first loser.
Can you guess who it is?
Is it Enzo?
It's Enzo. He's not even here, and he's winding people up. Look, he's put
that wing. He's never going to forgive him for that wing mirror.
He's put a laugh emoji. To be fair to him, he's okay, but once again, didn't get a hold of the game once we took the lead. Sloppy in possession and was at fault for the equaliser of a really poor pass. Oh my word!
Yeah, I actually had a similar loser. I actually said the midfield duo of him and Caicedo. I just thought they were run through the whole midfield in general. I know Gallagher did really well in sort of covering the space that Cucurella and Sterling was leaving on the left hand side, but I thought the whole midfield was just run through really easily, despite everything. It was actually quite a good game, quite end to end game. You know, lots of chances.
Yeah.
But the reason that was is because neither team could establish any midfield stability whatsoever. So it's great for the neutral, but not great for us.
I mean, I'll run off his final loser because it's a bit harsh here. It's his birthday yesterday. Come on. But he's got De Sarcy and he's put not a terrible performance, but he's got to be more aggressive when people are on the edge of the box. He keeps letting players shoot while turning away.
It's what we said about Isak's goal, didn't we?
Yeah. Oh, and he does have a final loser. I see again, it's my eyes. I'm not getting too old, but his final loser was Nkunku. I feel like if he doesn't play at least half of our remaining games, the team could move on without him already. Palmer's undroppable. So too Jackson, unless we sign a top striker. And if Mudryk steps up, then he's in real trouble. Injuries could finish his Chelsea career before it's begun. I think that's a very fair statement.
Hit the nail on the head there. We say that about players, you know, then they get injured and things, that we worry about the team being able to pass them by. We've said it a little bit with Chilwell this season, and certainly Wesley Fofana as well. We do worry about what's going to happen to him. Is he going to come back the same? Chilwell certainly exactly. hasn't. And it is a worry. If Nkunku can't come back and be the player we all thought he was going to be, he might not even get off the ground.
Yeah. You know what? I will say my first loser, and it's Raheem Sterling because.
Yeah, he's on mine.
Let me tell you about what I saw against Newcastle. I saw a performance that was wasteful, it was selfish, and frankly, it.
And disrespectful to the establishment.
Yeah. It looked like it kind of gave me the vibe. He looked like he'd rather be anywhere else but on that field. I mean, it felt like I was watching someone who just clocked out mentally and was just counting down the minutes till they could leave and go home.
I know. I can't believe I keep seeing that headline today where it's like it says Sterling is fully committed to Chelsea. I'm like, yeah, 300 grand a week. I'm sure you are, mate. Like,
yeah, I see better than I hear, you know. And I'll keep being told that Sterling's committed and all this. I don't see it. And
doesn't look committed, does he?
No. I mean, Mudryk did more in 20 minutes than Sterling did in 70.
Yeah.
I mean, I know fresh legs against a tired Newcastle, but it just didn't. I only have one memory that stands out of that game, and it was when Sterling yet again dribbled with the ball, run into traffic.
Yeah, it drives me up the wall, man. But like, because what frustrates me is that Sterling almost seems to get a pass sometimes for some of the poor ways that he plays. He'll get people have a bit of a go at him. But if Mudryk did the exact same thing, he'd be totally crucified for it. And it doesn't feel like that should be the way it is. And I know people say, oh, you know, like Mudryk was 80 billion, million, whatever he cost. But, you know, Sterling is actually costing the club more in terms of his wages every single week. And he was, we've brought him in to be an experienced head in attack and a leader and all of this stuff. I've said it 100 times this season. He's just not doing it. And so far, he's getting outshone by everyone else. You know, like he's really kind of. It feels like he's only playing because we need a player who's over 25 in the squad in attack. That's really it. That's my view on it. And you know, like I say with Sterling, if he doesn't score, he's had a bad game, and he's had a bad game.
Yeah, I mean, who's some losers you've got?
My final loser is actually individual brilliance. Because for this Chelsea game, you know, like we look at the first goal, it's a nice shot by Palmer with a beautiful bit of skill and flick from Jackson to get it past Dubravka. You know, second goal, you got Palmer obviously rifling it in from outside the box. That again, it's like an individual moment of real quality. And then you've got Mudryk dribbling through three players, rounding the keeper and slotting it in.
Mm.
Despite the fact that we scored three goals, I didn't really feel like it was the team that scored them, if you know what I mean.
It
felt more that they were moments of just individual class, and that's great. Mm. It's really good to know that the players have got that in their locker. But at the same time, there is a real distinct worry that if those moments don't come off, we lose that game 2-1 in the 90th minute to a Jacob Murphy wonder strike. Yeah, you know? Yeah. I just worry again about not having control of the game and the tactical implications of it. And listen, we won, so I'm not going to get too upset about it all. Yeah. You know, like we'll move on to next week, I'm sure, and we can have actual things to be upset about if we don't win.
Yeah,
but it was just the fact that it was moments of individual quality rather than the team showcasing quality across the board for me.
Yeah. My final loser is, you said his name earlier, it's Tim Sherwood for this.
All you need is some players to play with. I know you can't say that, but I'm saying it. I just think you need more quality around you. For me, he needs to build the team around you, the quality you have. But that'll come with a few transfer windows, hopefully, once he gets the right players in.
Yeah, there's a lot of quality there, like not just me. We've got loads of other players, so hopefully the team can gel a bit more than everyone has seen.
All right, perfect. Cole.
He handled that much better than I would have.
Yeah, thank God for media training, man. It's my word.
It was like, you could see it in his face, like, he's trying to,
yeah,
trying to set me up here.
Honestly, if I was Cole Palmer, I would have been really upset with him once that the was cameras were.
Oh, my word.
Because what a little ratty thing to say.
What's he meant to say? Just to go, yes, Tim, I agree. All my teammates are shit.
Yeah. Do you know what? Tim Sherwood has a real thing against Chelsea. It's not just because he's fully Spurs, because he is. But as well, you've got to remember that Pochettino made his career entirely irrelevant. When he was the manager at Spurs, because he took over for him and made him look like an absolute idiot, because before that Spurs were doing terribly, and then they were doing much better. So you got to remember, he's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder about Chelsea, and he's looking to undermine us at every opportunity.
I mean, it's just that factor.
Right?
When
he's always being upset.
Yeah, when you say that, oh, you can't say it, you know, but I'm going to... And it's like, you've already set him up. So it's sort of like, this is difficult, because if I say something, obviously, if I don't say something, but he handled it really well.
It's the
fair
way
play,
he's
man.
Like a 50-something year old man there is trying to trip up a 21 year old kid, right? Yeah. Trying to get him to say something, trying to get him to, you know, get a soundbite or whatever.
Yeah,
for the camera.
Exactly.
I don't know what he's done. I don't know why he's done it, but yeah, Tim Sherwood's a rat, and I hope he doesn't watch us play ever again.
Yeah. Right. We'll get some emojis. I just went with ice cold emoji because of that. I think for that alone, just the coolness. Cole Palmer, how it handled that Tim Sherwood not question.
I went with the same thing, actually. I was just going with an ice cube for Cole Palmer, because he really ran the show. You know, and he just, yeah, I really want to see him continue and really kick on and just have a finish the season with a real flurry and show us all the quality he's got.
Yeah, that's fair. Lion of the week. Oh, the weekend Lions were actually reasonable. We had Palmer. Well, that's a win.
Yeah, no doubt.
Caicedo, and hey, look, can I just say I've won Lion Cub of the Week because I had Castledine, 2 goals in a 7-1 win over Newcastle Academy side. That's good enough. Just, I'll take it.
Lion Cub of the Week. Shout out to the youngsters as well, you know, putting 7 past that Newcastle youth team. You know, people notice things like that, and that will get you in the first team conversation, or at the very least, it will get you to skip a couple under 18 and under 21 games to be an unused sub.
Someone's shouting right now at their walls. I don't know how they're listening to the pod. Going, it's a 26 team league, Mike, in the academies. Yes, it is. Newcastle are bottom. I know that. I don't care.
Still put 7 past them on your head and just have it.
Exactly. L. We do not ratio. Care that it's a 2016 league. Nope. Do not care.
Nobody asked.
Good enough. Oh, my word. Right. We're going to move to the Christmas questions. 2 good questions I've got. I ate the other Greg. I don't know if it's I hate or I ate him. I don't know. I just love the name. I was like, bloody brilliant name.
Who was that from?
You what? Sorry?
Who was that from? I don't think I caught that.
I ate the other Greg.
Nice.
Now, well, that eight could mean hate or it could mean eight. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to assume it means actually consumed the other Greg.
Good meal, wonderful food, good dinner, whatever it was. I forgot that. So long ago. Right. He's asked, or she's asked, should Reece James come back fit and ready? Could Gusto play up on the wing?
I was thinking that, but it's a difficult one to make happen because if you're going to put, right, so you've got to put Reece James back in, so you've got to move Gusto up the, if you're going to move Gusto to the wing, then you've got to move Palmer in centrally, which means you've got to either bring Gallagher back or drop him entirely. And that's just not going to happen in a Pochettino side. Where I think he could really excel when Reece comes back is at left back. Because I know he's only played there once, but I really think he can grow into having a bit of resilience there on that left-hand side. We do need a left-back. You know, they said we were looking for one in the summer, and it would be really good to have Gusto be a player who can cover both sides of the ball with his quality. You know, and the other thing, of course, is whether you assume that Reece comes back to be right-back at all. Now, I imagine he will, but, you know, if we were playing three at the back, maybe he plays as right centre-back. Or you never know, maybe he goes into midfield to, ease the strain on his body or whatever. I don't know. But I think when he comes in, I don't think Gusto goes on the wing, unless Palmer's not playing, in which case I could see it.
I mean,
having them both overlap would be great, but I don't know.
I mean, for me, my take on this is kind of piping hot because I don't think Reece James is first choice right back any longer. Ooh. Yeah, that's Gusto. I mean, he's shown the talent. He's shown potential. And guess what? He's shown availability. I can rely on him to be there. You know, look, when it comes to Reece, I love him, but he kind of reminds me more like a Jeep. He's great to look at, but he's expensive and he's unreliable. Because of the injuries, he has not been consistent with availability, and it sucks because we know when he's on his day, when he's fully fit, he is, I would say, another hot take, I guess, to some Liverpool fans, he's the best right back in the Premier League.
No, that shouldn't upset any of Liverpool fans, because of course Trent is a midfielder, isn't he?
we're so told that. That's how I see it. I mean,
I know, just to go back to that as well, I know we've been calling out for like someone to play at the base of midfield. Reece James could do that, but I don't know. Maybe you want him more as a classic central midfielder, battling for the ball, getting down the wing as well. You know, maybe you lose the ability of his crossing and him to come in from deep and whatnot. Those are a lot of his major qualities. But I don't know. But for me, I feel like he could do a job at midfield.
That's fair. Finally, rounding off, we've got Alex, who's asked, do you agree that Mudryk is a must start on Sunday? He was electric tonight.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because Pochettino is probably going to drop him from the squad entirely, because that's what happens after he has a good game.
I mean, 100% for me, yes, he's got to play. But we had so many points made about Mudryk on Instagram that I'm going to read a few out. So we had, as I just go through them and pull my screen up on my phone, Alexander Barron had put Misha through the middle through the rest of the season. That's it. That is all.
I like it. I like it as an option.
Soph Ariana said, literally, what will it take for Poch to start Misha? Am I missing something? Or
probably Sterling to collapse. And I don't know. Or like to get lost at sea or something.
Mudryk start. This is from Sarah. Mudryk starts over Sterling, shows the composure that he supposedly doesn't have. I agree. That goal, he was... Wow.
People say that about Mudryk all the time. People have these myths about Mudryk. People say, you know, like that he can't defend and that he's got no composure. And it's like, well, actually, he can do both of those things. Any professional footballer should be able to do both of those things.
Man.
It just drives me up the wall, man. Use your eyes. Look.
I love how you sound like this is your burner account. I'm sure it's not. But Keith, finally, he's put, Mudryk looked well. Think he'll continue to get ignored as he normally does after playing well.
Thank you, true. Thank you, Keith. So, man after my own heart.
Yeah, Mudryk there, like, I'm going to play this weekend. No, you're not. You're with the reserves this week.
I guarantee it. He will probably come on in with like 10 minutes to go in the next game. something like that. Whenever he has a good game, Pochettino always drops him. And the comments he made, Pochettino, after the game about Mudryk as well, indicated that he wasn't all that impressed with his performance either. Which is quite, you know, I think it's a little bit harsh. But also, I think that might be a bit of the man management side from Pochettino. Mm-hmm. I think Mudryk, personally, for me, I think Mudryk is someone who needs a little bit of a push like that, a little bit of pressure, a little bit of tough talking about him so he can prove people wrong. Because that's kind of his whole thing, right? He works hard and he proves everyone wrong.
Yeah. So I guess we'll be seeing.
Maybe it's that, maybe it's not. But
I guess we'll see Mikhailo Mudryk start up front for the academy side against Forest's academy this Friday. There you go.
Nice.
Alicia, if you wondered, Forest are 20th out of a 26 team league.
Nice.
So, you know, they're still. I tell you what,
we want 10.
If you want to chuckle, Newcastle have conceded, their academy side have conceded 32. So you go, that's quite a lot. Man City's academy have conceded 44 and they're 24th. But even weird, this is where it gets really surreal. Blackburn's academy have conceded 50 goals and they're 15th. That's all. Huh.
So they're out. Yeah. They've had a few weird games where they've just got absolutely pumped and won the rest by like a little margin, I suppose.
Yes. But it's interesting. Yeah,
fair enough. Good it's on you, Blackburn. Blackburn Rovers Academy. You're all friends of the show.
Oh, man. Right. Thank you for listening to this episode. Treat yourself well. We're obviously at the end of another episode. We'll be back on Thursday because that's our schedule now. Hopefully, we'll have full sample of Lions. So till then, that is us signing off.
You've been listening to At The Bridge Pod, a Chelsea FC podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram by searching for At The Bridge Pod. And if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, leaving us a review is always appreciated.